Letters.
On Iranian hostages, underground cables, love, Kamala Harris, artificial intelligence, and gobbledygook.
Life in a Tehran jail.
From Siamak Namazi, Washington, D.C. I am a former American hostage in Iran. I was recently contacted by a former cellmate, a European hostage, who was just released from Iran's notorious Evin prison. His message included a picture of the latest Economist, proudly declaring it was the first item he asked for upon release. It was an inside joke between us, rooted in the dark days of our captivity, when your newspaper became our unexpected beacon of hope. During the last couple of years of my imprisonment, a wealthy inmate with a knack for sneaking in luxury items offered me a generous favour, to bring me one item of my choice each week. To his surprise, I requested neither a long-missed food item nor an item of clothing. I wanted copies of The Economist. I was immediately hooked, as were the other foreign and dual national hostages, who eagerly awaited their turn to read. Slowly, I expanded my underground paper route to other sections of the prison, including, on occasion, the women's ward. Who knew that distributing magazines could feel like running a covert intelligence operation? When my benefactor left, I was too hooked to let go and decided to keep our intellectual lifeline alive, even if it meant learning how to smuggle things into an Iranian prison. It took a while, but my resourcefulness eventually paid off. I managed to bring in a copy of The Economist more or less on a regular basis, although it required constantly finding new smuggling routes when the old ones were shut. On occasion, my mules would get intercepted and the precious cargo confiscated. That only meant I had to argue with the prison officials so much that they would eventually relent and return the goods. In fact, they got so tired of my constant haggling that at a certain point, they allowed me to bring them in officially. But I quickly learned that the official channel took months to clear, so I reverted back to the far more efficient smuggling system. These contraband copies of The Economist became our secret treasure, offering a respite from the monotony of captivity. We devoured the articles cover to cover, momentarily forgetting our dire circumstances and feeling a sense of normalcy. The impact of your publication was far more profound than I can ever express. This letter serves as a belated but heartfelt expression of gratitude for the intellectual nourishment you provided us during those dark days, connecting us to the world outside. Though you were denied a few years' worth of subscription fees, I hope you can forgive this captive enthusiast. Editor's note, September the 18th is the first anniversary of Mr. Namazi's release from 8 years in Iran's Evin prison.
Below the surface.
From Adam Ross, Director, National Infrastructure Planning Department, Israel Planning Administration, Jerusalem. The challenge of easing access to the mapping of underground infrastructure such as cables and pipes are shared by many countries as well as Britain. Article, Subterranean Assets, August 17th. Israel's National Infrastructure Law of 2023 requires all utility companies to allow the mapping of their infrastructure to be published on an accessible platform. The availability of this type of information is crucial for any country, but it is especially true for the developers and agencies currently involved in planning Israel's mass transit network. Much time and money in these mega projects are dedicated to relocating power lines and so on. This is all the more difficult and costly when the exact locations of existing utilities are kept under wraps.
Soulmates.
From the Reverend Andy Rowland, London. Following the fascinating obituary of Helen Fisher, August the 31st, I discovered the oldest description I know of falling in love. It's in the Bible. And it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was tied together with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. 1 Samuel 18:1 in the Orthodox Jewish Bible, anglicised. Interesting that it should be between two men.
Accepting responsibilities.
From Adrian Fogarty, London.
I note your rejection of the moniker Border Czar being applied to Kamala Harris. Article Woolly Warrior, August 24th. In March 2021, Joe Biden gave Ms. Harris the job of leading the administration's efforts in stemming the migration to our southern border. To now claim that the title Border Czar is a big exaggeration, with the implication that she bears little or no responsibility for subsequent migration across that border, is surely sophistry at its most blatant. Our political leaders should accept responsibility for their roles, rather than cowering behind obfuscation.
The perils of AI.
From Dr. Wolfgang Huber, Heidelberg, Germany. The realistic dangers of artificial intelligence don't necessarily come from whether it could cause death or physical destruction. Article Reality Check, August the 24th. As Neil Lawrence points out in The Atomic Human, AI in social media has already fundamentally changed the way people sense and experience the world by personalising what we get to read, see and hear in microseconds. It does not really matter whether these AI systems have their own agency, are run by humans, or are just stupid inanimate machines. By creating echo chambers, radicalization, and enabling propaganda at unprecedented scales, AI models in social media may indeed lead to events causing physical destruction and death.
From Marcelo Nobrega, Miramar, Florida. Filmmakers and authors have long explored AI risks and possibilities. In 1942, Isaac Asimov introduced the three laws of robotics to prevent harm to humans. We often focus on threatening fictional examples like The Matrix and Terminator, where AI turns evil. But what about more probable outcomes, like the benevolent holographic AI doctor from Star Trek Voyager? After all, Star Trek predicted speaking computers, universal translators, and personal communicators. The omnipresent and supportive AI entity in the Time Odyssey trilogy by Arthur C. Clarke and Stephen Baxter presents another compelling vision of AI's future. Though maybe that is a bit utopian, as the AI does not run ads or try to sell anything.
Say what?
From Sunny Mahajan, Jackson, Tennessee. Sometimes when it comes to signalling their intentions to financial markets, central bankers may find that less could actually be more. Article Free Exchange, August the 10th. Perhaps they can all learn from Alan Greenspan, who once said, "I know you think you understand what you thought I said, but I'm not sure you realise that what you heard is not what I meant."